It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Hey, good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And Conrad is back from a little hiatus, and good to have you back in the studio, Conrad.
Ready to push some buttons.
And welcome back, Cotter.
Because your show always pushes my buttons.
Yeah, so, right. We had Scott sit in for a couple weeks while Conrad was basking in the sun. And I'm sure we sound a little different than we do the last couple of weeks. But I'm not going to say good or bad. It's just different, right?
I don't know. I think Scott did a fine job.
Oh, he did.
He didn't doze off on you?
No.
Okay.
No.
He's retired now, you know.
He was right on top of it.
We had a long discussion about that. So he's out of the closet is what he is.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, but you are listening to Grilling Guys. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
I didn't hear the bus when it backed over him a second time. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're plowing again, Jop. We're plowing snow.
Well, I didn't get that much in town, but maybe out there in the yonder where you live, you did. But
You know, like an idiot, I pulled up all my flags already. So,
oh,
good
yeah.
thing I know the driveway.
Yep. The crazy part is the daffodils in my garden along the garage. We got a eastern. Exposure and the sun hits it until, you know, noon or one, full blossom, up, blossomed, and then the frost nailed them on Thursday morning. It was like 17 when we got up, and they didn't fare too well.
Well, I just hope it did a lot to whack the mosquito population, because I've been working outside, of course, and cleaning up, and I found several containers that had,
stagnant water.
Puddles and pools of water, and
yeah.
they were just teeming with mosquitoes.
Yeah.
All dead, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful day.
Yep.
But I've been spending a little time rebuilding some outdoor furniture and stuff like that. I have that pergola I built. You helped me haul it out to a wedding venue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
we built it when it was there, I think.
The roof finally started getting weak because I bought cheap slat, so I got some nice womanized planks and painted them, and we're going to get that baby all pretty for this summer, because you just never know what weddings are going to be in my backyard again.
Right. Yeah. I can relate to that. Yeah. Yeah. But before, years ago, August, I stood in that backyard and
yeah.
got married. And,
yeah. yeah. Same place.
Right.
Now
yeah.
it's got a better roof.
Well, I wasn't paying attention to the roof.
I don't think you'll need it again.
Yeah. Right. No, I won't.
So
I guarantee it.
I did nothing for Patty's Day, and I had bought already a corned beef. So the day after,
right.
we had some guests in the home. My son is having work done on his house from ice damage. So him and his family came out and stayed with us for the week. And we had a wonderful corned beef dinner with cabbage and potatoes.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Was it truly corned beef brisket? Because here's what I found. I didn't buy, but I found at a big box store that shall remain nameless, they had corned beef roast, and it was
oh.
rump roast that
oh,
had been
boy.
Cut
no way.
Into. Dude, it's on the label
oh,
because I'm like,
cheating.
Are you kidding me?
That's cheating.
Right. It wasn't even, but there was the, you know, it was a half the price of corned
Did
beef
you buy
brisket.
It?
No. I didn't, but I'd never seen it before. And it was corned beef roast. And I'm like, well, there's where our society has gone. You don't even eat brisket anymore
well,
for St. Patty's
mine
Day.
Was a premium
yeah.
from Sobeys.
Sure.
Beautiful. And I wish I would have bought more.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be my wife and I, so I got the smaller flat. And as it turns out, we had a nice group of people.
Sure.
And they mowed right through it. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, no sandwich material.
You're right. Nothing left over ever. But we did have a brisket, and I didn't corn it. I just bought a flat and smoked that.
Oh.
But Lisa made from a head of cabbage rather than sauerkraut. She mixed in onions and caraway seeds and braised it down in Old World Olive Company garlic olive oil, and it was fantastic.
So just like a...
Put it in a skillet.
A braised cabbage.
Yeah, deep...
very healthy.
Cast skillet, healthy. Yeah.
You got the EVO, you got cabbage, got wonderful
yep.
cancer-fighting nutrients.
Yeah, it was amazing with the onions in there, and oh, there might have been, we just lost the healthy thing. She might have put a couple strips of bacon in there to get a little bacon grease in the bottom of it.
That's good.
And yeah. We diced that up in there, too.
So it was not halal, is what
No. Whatever that is, it wasn't, right? Yeah.
Common mistakes for corned beef dinner. I overheard a lot of people talking about what they were doing, and some people said, well, I'm just putting my corned beef brisket and the cabbage and potatoes and a jug of something in my Instapot and letting it go.
Right.
Well, you can do that, but what you'll have is your cabbage will be mush.
Yep.
And your potatoes will fall apart and disintegrate too.
Right.
If you want to do that.
Because the corned beef takes a lot longer than the vegetables.
Do the corned beef for about 75 minutes. Take it out and then put the rest of that stuff in for about 20 minutes. Now you can do it. But
right.
If you're throwing it all in together, that's a common mistake I've made myself years ago.
You get chunky corned beef soup is basically what you get. It's not good.
So what are your thoughts, gentlemen, on the April 8th eclipse that is... all the buzz everywhere, and
you must be a different place than I am, because Conrad and I are looking at each other like, what in heck are you talking about?
It's going to miss most of Michigan. It's going to be down toward Detroit or Monroe County. Michigan's not going to get in it, but they're shutting schools down. I heard
I know.
That. Yeah.
I know.
Is this the once every so many years this happens? Or
This one won't happen again for, I think they said, 200 years.
Oh, really?
This one. But it's...
Explain it to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Crisscrosses the country, and there's a spot where I don't really understand it all, but basically what a lot of the, biblical people or whatever researchers have found is that it's crossing over like 7 to 10 different cities named Nineveh, and that's a biblical prophecy.
Oh.
And maybe...
Maybe it's
the end of the world, April 8th.
We'll see.
I thought it was Y2K was the end of the
world. It was.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the new one.
All right.
Right. So,
but they're making preps like that. I'm telling you, that there are political governors, all kinds of people that are hiring and deploying things, and they're expecting... I don't know.
There's a food rush for some of those counties. Those
yeah,
states.
they're gonna some the viewing
right,
paths.
Right.
They're gonna like double their populations that day, and they're just worried about bad actors.
Well, that happens anytime you get a group of people together. There's potential for that, but so it's a total eclipse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's
so it's gonna be light out, then it's gonna get dark out, and then it's gonna get light out again.
I think that's how it works.
Right. I mean, it isn't. It's a during
the day.
It's
just going to get dark and never going to get light
again. Right. I don't know.
I don't either. I just find it interesting. You're right, Conrad. It reminded me of Y2K.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I thought of. It's like, oh, computers are going to crash.
Yeah.
Get everybody to spend money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's go set up a barbecue stand in that little strip where it's going to get dark.
It's actually a pretty wide strip. I think it's 100 miles or 50 miles or something like that. But
and it goes like all the way from Maine down to like
Texas.
Albuquerque or somewhere in the panhandle.
Yeah.
Is it in Michigan?
No.
Barely. It's mostly in Ohio, but there's a little spot, I think, in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ain't here. So there you go.
Yeah. But you might get a chance to see a little effect from it.
Yeah, you know, calling school, I understand that, because you don't want a bunch of kids, you know, sticking their heads out the window and damaging their eyes. At least the parents or whoever be responsible for the kids.
Well, they've been watching TV all their lives.
This,
their eyes are already damaged.
Is this the little shoebox with the pinhole in it? And
they've got
you look through
glasses.
The lid of the
now
box.
Now you're showing your age.
Yeah, right.
They
have
special glasses now
that
you can get. They're cheap. They're in the most convenience stores that in those affected states.
The little
states.
Paper ones that you put on and it has a piece of film in front
probably,
of your eyes. Yeah,
probably.
Right.
Makes you permanently scarred.
Something you should wear while listening to the show for sure. So.
Yeah. If you've lost your earplugs, then put on the glasses.
Put on the glasses.
And just say, I'm not listening, I'm not listening.
Right. And blah, 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 blah. Anyway, maybe we'll get to some barbecue. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some ribs. We get this question a lot and about how to make ribs. So we're gonna bust it out and talk about different cuts, different ways to cook them, maybe a little seasoning.
Ribs are on, baby.
Wind to sauce. So it's the rib show. Stick with us. and clean your fingers. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We were talking about the eclipse in the last segment, and it was a dark conversation. So let's lighten this thing up. Let's lighten this thing up a little bit. Ribs is one of the things that we get asked about a ton because evidently people are challenged getting them done properly. And I think some of it has to do with the prep, seasoning, sauces, when to sauce. So we're gonna cover a bunch of that stuff.
And I want to insert a little part of the dark conversation was really on break. Yeah. Because Conrad was telling us about some ribs he ordered in Georgia.
Yeah.
And?
They sucked.
Well, you got to.
Do you get bad ribs down south?
Don't ask me.
Black eye for Georgia. Right. Georgia's not looking good these days.
He stopped at the wrong gas station, must be.
Thatcher's Barbecue and Grill in beautiful Ringgold.
That's where we were in Georgia. Hopefully they're not listening down there in Ringgold, Georgia, because your ribs suck.
Yeah.
But so let's talk about how to make some good ribs.
Basic
Bob.
Rib knowledge. And the most people know all this stuff, but I find that sometimes there are still people that just make some common mistakes. And just like the crock pot thing or the Instapot thing I was talking about, there are some things that you will definitely want to do. And, of course, you probably all know because you listen to this show that you want to pull the membrane off. Another thing you should know is there's a method called 3-2-1, which is kind of accurate. It doesn't always work because it always takes a brain. You can't just put math on everything and think that's going to make you good food.
Right.
So the
timing
is
important,
but
there's other issues. Yeah.
The original concept was 3 hours smoking, 2 hours wrapped, and then 1 hour sauced and open.
Right.
Well, 2 hours wrapped for a lot of ribs is just too long.
Yep.
And if you wrap them, and I use butcher paper, I've already told you that I've found over the years using foil that the different things I put on my ribs, and I think it's the acid or whatever, but it's literally dissolving the aluminum foil, and that's just freaky. I don't think that's good for you to have aluminum
liquid foil on your ribs. So let's step back a little bit. What kind of ribs are they?
Yeah.
Because there's beef, there's pork. You can get into other animals, most people are pork.
I'm really talking about pork right now. Right. If you look at the show plan, it'll say beef in the segment 3.
Yeah. When have we ever followed that? But you skipped the pork part. So let's talk a little bit about it because explain the difference between baby backs and spares, and what's the thought there?
Well, as Mr. Sobey has explained to us over the years, high on the hog was a term based on the top of the hog having better meat, the top of the ribs in particular being the best part, in some people's opinion, because the baby backs have so much more meat on them. And then you go halfway down the rib, and that's the lower part, which is, gives you your St. Louis cut or your spare.
Okay.
And I'm fine with any of them. I almost prefer the spares because I have an affinity for St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about what that really means. It's a flavor profile more than anything.
If you see them in the market, and a spare rib will actually look like a filleted half of fish. It'll look like a half of salmon or something. It's got this weird shape to it like that. To make a St. Louis rib out of it, you have to feel down the one side where you'll see there's some weird stuff making that lower flap. And it's kind of brisket meat.
For a hog,
if you feel along there, you'll feel the end of the bone. And you just take your boning knife, if you have one, and just cut along there and cut that lower part off. That's going to give you stuff that they call riblets.
Or rib tips.
Yep. Rib tips, but riblets are, right. that's big soul food. That's good. You'll find that in the real traditional barbecue shack.
So taking it back to the last segment, Conrad said he was in Georgia and he had some ribs because there was cartilage and there was fat in them and he didn't like them.
Yeah.
My gut on that is he was eating rib tips and he didn't know it.
No,
because
he said they were country ribs.
They were country ribs.
And we're going to cover that in segment four because that's a thing.
So hold your horses.
That's a thing. You know, and okay. It for those of us who grew up poor, we know all about country ribs.
Yep. So then back to these rib tips, because there's pieces of cartilage in that thing that you just cut away.
Yeah.
And people use that for a specific dish.
Again, you're back to how did we get all this food? Well, it was poor folks who made it taste good.
Right.
And riblets is a thing. You know, they take that part, and then even those have little knuckles and cartilage and stuff in them, which is why a lot of people don't like them because they don't want to bite a piece of cartilage. But the real lovers of barbecue will look at that as something they get to chew on and get the meat off of it, and then they put them on the plate, and that's what you do with ribs anyway, right? You're chewing on the bone, and you have a bucket on the table, and you throw all the bones and stuff in a bucket. It's a messy meal, but that's family. That's love right there. That's barbecue love.
So getting them done, I think that there's many people that I've talked to that say, I know they're done when the meat falls off the bone. To me,
some people like that.
To me, though, that's a little overdone.
Well,
I want it on the bone so I can cut between them and get a bone.
It's because you were trained properly.
Right, yep. And if they're falling off the bone, you can't cut them because as soon as you put a knife on that meat, it falls right off the bone. You got a pile of meat and no bone.
That's a wives' tale that they should be falling off the rib.
There you go. You nailed it exactly. Women like it like that. So if your girl likes it like that, make some of them like that. Make her happy.
You kind of twisted that a little, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, maybe, but...
My wife likes
you said
to,
it.
You know, yeah, but she likes to chew on the bone, so to speak. So everything.
Leave it alone.
But my point here is that there's a time when they're done and there's a time when they're overdone, right? And that's I think a common mistake that I feel people make.
Well,
because we've picked up the one of the tests to know that they're done is you got a rack of ribs, run the tongs under about halfway. You pick it up if it arches. But it doesn't fall apart, they're done because they're pliable enough and soft enough now that they're not going to be super chewy. But if you pick them up with the tongs and it fall in half, to me they're overdone.
Yeah, yeah, no sense putting them back on.
Right.
But Conrad hit something there. He said wives' tale, and maybe there's a reason we use terms like that.
How do you season that? Wives' tale.
Ooh, you guys.
Delicately was totally the answer.
Gave me a Jedi mind swipe right there. I don't even know where to go. But
these aren't the ribs that you're looking for.
Right. Plus, there's always one less.
Conrad, that vacation did you so much good. Look at this fresh mind you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll just call it a game and go home. I don't know what to do from here.
No, there's more to talk about with the do's and don'ts, but we did take a couple rabbit trails.
We got a
there.
Couple of do's and don'ts there.
Right.
There's many more.
But anyway, coming up next, we're going to leave the hog and go over to the beef ribs. It says segment three, beef ribs. I was corrected earlier, so we can talk about that now. Yeah. Your list, The Grilling Guys, on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're our list of The Grillin' Guys and The Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Appreciate you tuning in. We covered a little bit of basic knowledge about pork ribs in that last segment. Did we miss anything, Bob?
I don't know, Conrad. What did we miss?
I'm not paying attention.
Right.
I'm watching you guys.
Best kind of producer.
There's tons of stuff, but you already tickled some of this, and one of them was beef ribs.
Right.
So let's get that a little bit out there.
They're bigger.
Yeah, they are. The ribs are actually much larger, and there's more meat there. And depending on how the person processing the animal cuts them out, and like if you go into Sobey Meats, I got to use them again, you'll see they'll have like a great big section of the cow there, and they're cutting them out right there.
Right.
It's not coming in a box.
Right.
They don't get them at the beef factory.
Right.
You know, so they're going to, and so you, what my point is, you have the opportunity to tell the butchers there how you want that rib to smoke. If they know you're doing like a competition or you want to get a little fancy, they'll cut it in a way that'll leave a little extra meat on that thing. So you have the brisket on a stick that we used to talk about.
Right.
And so with a beef rib, it's the same thing. What we didn't cover on the pork rib, we can cover with the beef rib. What you want to look for, and why I say the math isn't always perfect, is when you're smoking a rib, you want to look in there after a couple of hours and see what the bone is doing at the end of that slab.
Yep.
If it's starting to poke out a little bit, you want about a half inch of bone on pork sticking out. You're going to end up with more than that on beef. You're going to have an inch or two and do a little different process. But with a half inch of bone sticking out, now you get your butcher's paper out and you wrap those pork ribs. And you don't need to worry about putting any mopping on there, but you can.
So that bone sticking out is an indicator that the meat is cooking all the way, because when it pulls back like that and you start to see some exposed bone, it's releasing the connection to the bone, which is why it's shrinking. It's cooking and it's shrinking back a little bit. That's a great indicator to tell you that it's starting to cook and you're getting close to the time to wrap it. And the wrapping, what that does is keeps the moisture in.
Right.
Right?
I wonder if Conrad has a wives' tale on that.
I do not, but I want to know why are beef ribs, you know, when you go out to eat, I love, you know, getting ribs somewhere. I don't like to deal with all the hassle, smoking them, but...
that is a hassle.
Damn
grilling guys.
Those damn grilling guys. So why don't they have beef ribs available in a lot of these restaurants? Why don't they
do a lot of them do?
I would say there's two reasons. One is they're big and bulky, and they're a little bit more expensive, probably a lot more expensive than pork ribs. And people think ribs, they think pork. We're conditioned that way.
Part I'll agree with.
Right.
The big and bulky part, I don't know that would deter a restaurateur or a barbecue guy from making them. They usually have some pretty big Southern Prides or whatever. Right. They're throwing tons of product on. So that may or may not be the situation. But the conditioning part, I agree with you absolutely on. We have all been taught that ribs come from a pig.
Right.
And most people, when they tried to do beef ribs in the past, before the barbecue associations and stuff started really encouraging people to compete and do things like that, the beef ribs always came out kind of poorly, unless you were at a Korean restaurant. The Koreans knew how to do ribs for a long, long time, and they have several different methods that we will cover at the end of this segment, but that's another way to do that.
So the very first time, and this was way back, when Bob and I were just getting together, and Bob was the, and as you can tell from the show, I've surpassed him now, but Bob has always been the expert. Bob's been the expert on the grilling, and I'm just here to ride along.
Ouch.
Right? But no, in all seriousness, I went to Kansas City with Bob, and we went down there, and it was the first time ever I had really good beef ribs, well, and you guys were cooking them.
We did our show from the American Royal.
Right. Right, and that was when you called it brisket on a stick. I'd never heard that term before, but those ribs, when I saw what they started out with and what they ended up with, that shrunk back about a third of the length of that bone was exposed when they were done. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is where I learned that I didn't want it to be able to pick the bone up and have it all fall off, but just a slight little tug, and that's what I had. And those things were seasoned so
and
well.
And that's a meal.
Right.
I mean,
right.
One rib, if you, again, back to the butcher,
right.
If he trims it, knowing what you're going to do, if he trims it properly and leaves enough on there, you end up with
like a softball size.
You're like a tomahawk.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And
I'm getting hungry.
And I mean, it makes my mouth water just thinking about that. That
I
was,
do.
if you, I don't know, if you're a grilling guy, you've got three or four things that over time turned out amazingly well. And you're like, wow, that was fantastic. That was my first wow ever, was down there, because before I was just grilling in my backyard. I wasn't studying this. We weren't doing this like we are now. But at that time, it was like, holy cow,
well, those
what
were a bunch
that?
Of guys I was working with out there.
Yeah.
And Rob Russell being, of course, my primary and turned into one of my best friends. And, of course, we had so much fun doing barbecue together that
right.
How can you not have fun when you got a guy that's as good as him,
right?
And I gleaned as much as I could from him, and that's how this goes. That's how these traditions are passed on. You know, it's they're most culinary schools are now starting to get into it, but it's never been a thing.
Right.
This was I'm gonna say kind of a redneck thing, but it's also a Western thing and a Texas thing. But it's generally rednecks that do the good barbecue. It's people who are used to being outside a lot, and that would be like a farmer or a person that's an outdoors person.
These are my people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Jethro listener.
Yeah, right.
They're not afraid to get their hands dirty and then lick the sauce off.
Right. But the
you liked
so
it,
seasoning.
Didn't, you
yeah,
liked it,
yeah,
didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
I remember Randy was walking around, walking into posts and stuff. He was like, and he was in love with his giant rib in his hand.
Right.
Gotcha.
So talk about like the seasoning on that one, because I don't think it was terribly complex. The beef was the star of the
that
show.
That was the seasoning we were selling for that company at the time. And there's a bunch of good ones, you know.
Right.
You can go into Sobeys and he's got all sorts of stuff. Some of the stuff I used to rep, some of the stuff is just stuff he found on his own.
Yep.
And because everybody's going there to try and sell their seasonings now.
Right. Well, it's a butcher shop.
It's not only a butcher shop. It's a butcher shop with a family that really understands how to make food.
Right. Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
And most butchers are pretty good at making food, I find.
Yeah. Well, you
so
know.
So are brewers.
Fundamental, you start with good ingredients, you get a good result. I mean, it's plain and simple. And that's why you go to Sobeys, because you're going to get fresh, top quality
like
product.
That brisket I did.
Yeah,
it was a big name. I can't think of it right now, but it was not. It was he'd bought them packaged. They don't bother brining them themselves.
Right.
And I actually put the seasoning package in it. But the seasoning is a big part of what you're doing. The timing is a big part of what you're doing, and then the technique, of course, has a lot to do with it. But all this stuff doesn't matter if you don't have a good charcoal. So you got to be really careful with where you're getting your charcoal. I've amazingly found some beautiful stuff at Gordon Foods. It's a big 40 or 50 pound bag, and it's mesquite charcoal. And Randy always has a fit when I talk about mesquite because he don't like it. But you'd be surprised when you have mesquite charcoal. It's not strong at all. But they have these big bags, and it's just a little different flavor. But it's lump charcoal. And it's a value.
That
big bag was like $25.
The reason that you use the lump charcoal is it burns longer. You can damper it down, and it stays even heat. And you load it up your smoker, and you've got several hours of smoke from that lump. If you were using briquettes, you'd be in there every hour or two.
You're absolutely
loading her right back
up. You're
absolutely
right.
And that you lose your heat, you mess up your cook. you know, buy lump charcoal. We don't sell lump charcoal. Lots of places do, but I'm just telling you, that is a huge differentiator.
Tim Sobey has, Tim and Teresa, can't forget Teresa, they have a nice selection of lump charcoal out there, and that is just a big deal.
Yeah.
So the technique, of course, the quality of the meat and everything. Korean ribs, I don't know.
We might talk about that next week.
We're going to hit them in
the next segment, the Korean ribs, because that's a flavor profile and a little bit of a style. And I think, though, it's worth mentioning because it's really tasty. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Rib Show. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill. There's no need to bake. You bring the body.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and this would be a great day to fire up the smoker and do some ribs. You know what? The basketball tournaments are on. You can watch from morning to night, and when the ribs are done, you take a break and eat them.
Yes. I want to do a little cleanup from that last segment because I just think there's so much stuff you can talk about for ribs.
Uh-huh.
And we tried to cover a whole bunch of it. And we kind of skirted over something that Conrad was dealing with in Georgia, and it's the country rib.
Okay.
And I think growing up, I never knew there was any other type of rib other than a country rib. And that's really just strips of pork butt, which is pork shoulder. And they would cut it into strips, and it was always on sale, and it was cheap. So, of course, having six kids in the house, that was something my mother could do, and she always used a crock pot.
Yep.
Or she baked them. But by the time I was an older kid, and there was only a couple of us left, she had decided to discover a crock pot, and, like, everything we ate was out of a crock pot.
Right.
But those things were good.
Yeah.
And she would just put them in barbecue sauce, set the timer for, like, 2-3 hours, and by the time it was dinner time, I mean, that was a beautiful, tender piece of meat,
right?
And not to be scoffed at, but poor Conrad here, he ran into somebody who was drinking on the job and didn't know how to make a friggin' fracking.
Well, first of all, they didn't tell you they were country ribs. You know, when you're ordering, they go, "Oh, ribs, sure, no problem," and then you're pleasantly surprised when they're not. You know, the ribs you're expecting, they're country ribs.
There you go.
So,
or
maybe not so pleasantly surprised by the sound.
Well, there's your little area, your colloquial thing, where it gets to a region.
It was
out
in the
country. And what they think it is, you know. It's so funny. There's a lot of things like that's why it's always nice if you can see, you know, on your way to the men's room or something, if you can look at some tables and scour and see what people are ordering.
Well, another thing
you'll
in
find
the South
something that looks good.
I want a Coke. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a Coca-Cola.
No, it's a soda pot.
Right. Yeah. So there's things like that you get regional, and it's just the way they do things.
That's definitely a Georgia thing.
But the country ribs, the crock pot isn't the only way to do them. So you go to the Gordon Foods, the big box stores, the Sobey Meats. This is going to be one of the least expensive pieces of meat is that pork shoulder. Traditionally, people make pulled pork with it. That's another show. But you can cut it up into these strips, and generally because you want a piece of the bone, that shoulder blade,
well,
that's in there
they're already cut into strips. They look like ribs when you buy them.
Okay, you're not cutting your own is what
no, that's why a lot of people think that's ribs, because you see them in a packet, there's six maybe, and they're already cut. So, but you're right. There are several ways you can do that. Have you ever made them?
No. Because if I'm making ribs, I use baby backs or spares.
Well, you got a lot of money, so you can buy.
No, I feed two people. That's all. So, well, a rack of ribs is two meals for Lisa and I. You know, so yeah.
Yeah. So the nice thing about country ribs is if you do have a bunch of little kids, it's a nice way to get some barbecue to them,
right?
And it's affordable.
Yeah.
Because if you're buying baby backs at $4 a pound, and you got little kids grabbing them. You know, they're going to leave half of it on the dang bone. So right. That's always a shame to watch. But what you can do with those things is season them and grill them for as long as you can do without burning them, and then throwing them in some sauce and finishing them off in the oven. Put a little barbecue sauce on it, cover it up in a roasting pot, and finish them off that way. That's a really nice way. Or you can roast them that way, pull them out, throw them on the grill, and then finish them off. You know, there's a whole bunch of ways you can
kind of baste them a little bit. You want to cook them slow to get them done and to make sure they're tender.
Because they're thick.
Right, because they're thick. But then baste them at the end because sauce doesn't sink in. It's on top. And what you want to do is just get it on there for the flavor, make it a little tacky.
Yep.
So when it picks up, you know, it's not dripping off and you're good to go.
Well, and I think that's why a lot of people like crock pots and Instapots, because in that case, the sauce actually is driven into the meat, and maybe that's their thing. I don't know.
So talk about Korean ribs, Bob, because I think that that's a thing that you like. And
Well, if you can find a good Korean restaurant, there's not a whole bunch of them in a lot of markets, but typically what you're going to find is it's a beef rib, and they're going to be marinated and then slow grilled. What I find is sometimes they just don't get quite tender enough. And now, again, your butcher, if he knows you're doing Korean ribs, he's going to trim those a different way again, because then there'll be much less meat on them so that you can actually cook them on a grill. If you just get some beef ribs and try doing this and they're not tender enough for you, don't feel bad about wrapping them and throwing them in the oven or on your smoker or on a grill, and covering them up for a while and bringing them to where you want them. That's where having, you know, a nice piece of cast iron will come in handy, because you got the lid on it. You keep your moisture in nicely, and so you can take care of it that way. But so the sauce is like soy sauce, white vinegar, sesame oil. I go through a lot of sesame oil. I love stir fry.
That's a strong flavor. You got to be easy with that.
Old World has a beautiful, beautiful sesame oil that I use. Then it's got onion, garlic, brown sugar, and some pepper, and they're so tasty. It's really a barbecue, mm-hmm. You know.
It's just a darker sauce. It's traditionally
it's a barbecue sauce. The soy is what darkens
it up. Yeah. Yep. So if I'm sitting here and I'm listening and I'm wondering, well, how do I know when my
ribs
are done?
Why in the heck am I listening to these guys?
Well, how do I know when our ribs are done? Now, is this consistent, because you call it brisket on a stick because it's a denser meat that you got to cook slow. We bring that brisket to somewhere in the low 200s to 205 when it's done. Do you use a probe on your ribs if it's a beef rib because it's a bigger ball of meat? Do you use that, or
no,
is that
that's
not
touch.
Necessarily?
That's touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I thought.
And with Korean ribs in particular, I said your butcher is going to cut them for you if you tell him it's Korean ribs. That's going to be a thinner piece, because you're literally just grilling a thin rack of ribs, and whatever time you've got it on there, that's all you're going to get done. By the time, you'll know when it's time to pull them, because you're going to be close to burning them. So
right.
That's just all you get. And you're going to serve four or five of them, and they're going to be short ribs. They're going to serve four bones in that piece you're cooking per serving. And you're not going to separate them. You're just going to...
It's a little rack.
When you serve it, when you serve it, the display is a big part of it. You can get some watercress and stuff like that and put it on it. And just make a nice presentation out of it. But I'm getting hungry again.
Yeah, man, it happens. But, you know, hit us on Facebook, Bob, on Fakebook. And if you got rib questions, because he he answers those. I don't.
I send them to Randy.
Right.
Yeah, these people that meet Randy when he's on these lavish vacations always send a message on our Facebook page, and I have to send it to Randy. I'm his personal secretary.
Well, no, I don't ever give him my name. Hi, I'm Bob. I have this show called The Grilling Guys.
Well, you know, thinking of the Korean ribs, here's a thing. Now, the rice you make with them is a thing. And you don't just go to the supermarket and say, oh, I'm going to buy some rice. Don't buy Uncle Ben's or 60-minute rice or 60-second rice or any of that stuff. Go down, if you're in the Grand Rapids market in particular, South Division, just south of 28th Street, a few blocks south on the east side, there's a wonderful Asian market called Lee's Market. That guy has, his wife, for one thing, makes a phenomenal kimchi. But the dad, the grandpa, has one of the nicest selections of rice you will ever find. And he'll school you on those because there are huge differences in rice. And so for a Korean rice, you might want like a what they call a sushi rice or less, you know, that's how you make sticky rice, especially if you're going to eat with chopsticks. You don't want to use Uncle Ben's or the boxes of rice
right.
from the supermarket.
No,
but
sure don't.
That's a great place to, number one, get kimchi, and which if you're going to do Korean ribs, go get some kimchi. Get some real kimchi.
It's a little spicy.
It's but, killer. It's killer.
Use it sparingly. Unless you like the heat, but it is very good, very good. Well, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Each and every week, we try to bring you a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of fun with regard to what you might be doing in your backyard.
Yes, and we also encourage you to go to thegrillingguys.com. Click on the headset at the top right if you want to get the podcast, or go to your Apple Podcast thing and just type in The Grilling Guys. We're ubiquitous. But all our sponsors are on the right side of the page. Check out those logos and click it, and you'll get the ticket.
Yes, you will. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Get out in your backyard. Create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
See you.